Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Kind of like speaking. A little mishap there, but luckily they can't hear me on the screen yard on the live. So anyway, we have a good show for tonight. We're going to talk about different subjects and through my guest arrived. So stay tuned. Welcome. It's almost Friday. For me, that is Wednesday. To me, it's almost Friday, but not quite Friday, but we're getting there. Bad weather coming. Never know what's going to happen. And we are live on Facebook and on YouTube. And we are waiting. Here we go. And we have previews. We have a share already. That's cool. Going back to blog posting, everything fits. We had difficulties the last 3 weeks. We were able to get through finally, and engineers have fixed the problem, which I think is absolutely wonderful. And let's do it back here. So back to the dashboard. I got a dashboard here that will show me things, interesting things. So, matter of fact, we like to thank Who Says Libertarian, Conservative Nation Radio, Joseph Gibson. These are our fans that follow us, so we'd like to follow them back. 1962, Dean Severett, Haber, 1978, Ice Jenkins Live. I like that name. That's pretty awesome. Tamrock Radio. And we got radio stations following us. I think that's great. So it's only my duty to follow them back. So we're going to cut this music down and cut it. Okay. All right, enough of the music. Here we go. And fairly enough, are you ready? You can comment anything you want.
Sure.
Okay, here we go. We're going to go. Here we go. We're going to take this down. Put on a little bit of music in the background. And we're going to go ahead with. Here we go. I like that. So much better. So here we go. We're going to get rid of this. I'm going to bring myself. I'm on stage now. But look at that. Oh, no, it's me in front of Brian Fox. So what we're going to do is cut it over here. And, yes, this show is sponsored by Brownie Fox. That's a shame. And let's see, we got there. Take this out. We're going to move it. Is that right, Carolyn? That's what we're going to do. I'm going to hide that. There we go. So now I'm on stage. I'm there. We are live. Welcome to the American Allegiance Show, or the Kevin White Show, whatever you want to call it. My guest tonight, I've led several people, is Darren White. He's been on this program many times. And, we were going to talk about current events and what's going on these days. Nothing too controversial, but informative. Matter of fact, you'll like this. This is pretty cool. This is like the irony of irony. Well, this is kind of funny. Carolyn, are you paying attention here?
No.
Okay. Like I said, we're in the Brownie Fox Studios here. So, and we're getting things done here. It's just, you know, you never know what you're going to run into. Really strange. You're fine. I assume you're human, right?
Are you talking
to me? Yes, I am.
Well, I thought you had a game.
No, not yet. He'll pop on and I'll get an audible.
like the Kroger.
Yeah, right. So, this is funny because there's a man who claimed to be selling Queen Elizabeth to walking stick. Sentenced to jail for fraud. He got 50 for pulling a hoax. I wonder how many he sold. Why in the world would you think you could avoid that in England? Because they're not like in the United States. They don't have the same kind of freedoms. And the Queen is a fresh thing. So a 16-year-old boy did a world debut at the Dart Championship. He won £500,000. $630,000. Pretty cool. This is AP Wire. How does that even happen? If you go like that, sure, yeah. Nope, there's not. So, Carolyn, do you have your TSA breach out?
I do.
All right. So, how has it benefited you? Does it work for you, or do you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you can talk, yeah. You're the fill-in.
Right.
Yeah, I know you are. But you're the fill-in for tonight, so you're the guest.
No, I'm not staying up here forever.
Well.
Give me a guest.
Are you working on that?
No.
You know, we need to know. We don't know. We're some people have it, some people don't. I'm trying to weigh the issue whether I want to buy it or not.
Well, now that I'm traveling a whole lot more for my new current position.
Yeah.
I find it very convenient for the $78 that I spent on it. I do have questions about the process. Like, it's just interesting. But for me, I travel with a team now, and everyone in the team has a TSA pre-check. So therefore, if I don't have it and I get stuck in a long line trying to process through, I would be left there by myself. And they really don't like to do that. We like to travel all together all the time, you know, visually in each other's sight, based on our particular job functions that we do. We like to stick together as much as possible in public places. So that being said, it's been a great, great asset. I have medical devices that I wear, and it makes very easy because I don't have to be patted down or worry about the machines destroying the machines that I'm wearing, the devices that I have on. But then it brings to question my head if I'm able to get through so fast without anyone checking what I'm wearing. I mean, they give you a little card and you can say, hey, I'm wearing this because, you know, such and such.
Right.
That's all my business around. Most people know. But anyway, but how can I get through for $78 a year?
Mm-hmm. It's for 5 years.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I was going
Okay, that's even cheaper. So, anyway.
$15
a year?
Well, yeah. So you pay $78, and what do you get from it?
For me, the first trip with my team, I had peace of mind. It was so smooth. I have a lot of anxiety when I fly because of the situation, medical things that go on. And you just put myself in a bucket, take my shoes on,
mm-hmm.
take my coat off, did not even have to take laptop or iPad out and do it.
And therein lies the problem.
Well, not only that, I'm also wearing medical, but not that I can do it.
Right, yeah. But I know it's
what
fun.
What if somebody does that and what they're wearing isn't really medical?
Well, exactly. So I'm going to have Darren chime in now. Hi, Darren. How are you doing? Darren's my brother from another mother. He's Darren White. Okay.
Oh. Thanks for saving me. I'm going back to
now. She's working back there. We got projects going on, so we're trying to get a book out later this week. No, I think it's next week. Yeah, next week. So, Jared, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm doing very well for a Wednesday night.
Yes.
Not a bad day. It's a little cold out here in Ohio, but.
Oh yeah.
How about you?
Same. Ditto. So, yeah, I'm doing fine. So what we were talking about. Here, I put this out. There you go. There you go. Here.
Hey, Kevin, I'm going to step away from one.
Sure, go right ahead. Sounds good. So while he steps out, so she paid $78. She has peace of mind. She gets. So if you get to the airport, though, if you get there on time, you're still going to be, you still make the plane, right?
All right, I'm back.
So my thing is this. If you still make it to the plane without pre-check, especially in Dayton, Dayton is like really easy. It's like the easiest airport in the world. And when you get off the plane, your luggage is already there. It's great. It's like magic. Only airport that I know of you can do that, except for Punta Gorda, maybe. Anyway.
Not Atlanta.
Oh, no, no. I will not ever. Oh, my goodness. I don't want to be outside that air. I've had to fly through there a couple of times. I cannot take that. Atlanta is gigantic. And you ride the train. I'm just like DFW. But what I'm trying to say is if you get to your gate without the pre-check, you can get there before the plane leaves if you plan a little bit ahead of time. It's not a problem. However, I understand traveling in a group because I know your job provides you the free pre-check. So, is that correct? Do you use it?
No, I paid for mine.
Oh, did you?
Yep.
Oh, really? Well, you got ripped off.
Yeah.
for your caliber, the civilian, it's free for them. But.
The military, because of.
Yeah, because you're a federal employee. That's why.
Okay.
So, all right. Yeah, you got it. No, it's all right. It's all good. I know it's a big advantage, but my point is this. You get your pre-check done, you pay the money, you have a little interview, and next thing, magically, you don't have to be seen, you don't have to show anything. So is that really a good way to go? Okay. Can you explain the process? You show your ID. You go through the line. You get up your ticket. Can you look at your ticket? Huh? Yep. Why? What's that got to do with anything? Isn't that like, if you're a terrorist, what's the belt going to do?
Yeah.
You're pissed. Yeah. if your pants fall, you rely on the belt, you've got other problems. Right.
It's a benefit.
Well, I guess you can say that, but deeper into this, what's the point? What's the belt or not the belt? What does it say? What does it prove? What is?
Oh, it's not a point. It's always about the money, Kevin.
Yes, exactly. You know it.
Just
right.
Have the convenience.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, and should have labeled this a TSA pre-check scam, but sure.
Why do we have TSA pre-check when there's no border check?
That is true. There you go. That is, yeah.
So if we're going to open up the borders, forget about pre-check.
Yeah.
Miles in aircraft, who cares, right?
And people are dying, too.
Don't want somebody to bring the aircraft down, but same principle.
Yeah, you're right, because the people are actually dying at the border and in the U.S. Crime has gone up 300% in Long Island and all over the place. So, yeah, so that's a really good point. I'm glad you brought that up because it makes a lot of sense. So how many people have died in aircraft or airline hijacks in the last 20 years or anything like that.
I can't remember one, Kevin.
I can't either. Security's good, but I think PreCheck is a hole in security. I'm going to pay the money. They're not going to do any kind of check on me. Not going to do anything thorough that fast. I mean, did they give it to you? Did they give you yours, your PreCheck?
I can't remember that there's a system behind it, right? So when for all those people that are coming in free and giving them free, you know, free meals and free housing and all kinds of
Right. Yep.
And who's paying for that, Kevin?
We are.
Right. The taxpayers pay for that. Somebody's got to pay the bill. And it's going to be our grandchildren and great-grandchildren in a greater sense than we could ever imagine. That's why I really think that, you know, border security is to have access to things that they don't get in their own country. But if you let in 10% of all the other countries come in through our southern border, you're not going to change the poverty level in the world.
Right, that's
it's
true.
It's not going to change the poverty level in all these other countries. And it's a challenge, and it's something where, you know, we're trying to do it to protect our freedoms, but there, you know, we have some issues that we need to work through, in understanding that just opening the border isn't the answer for everybody else's poverty.
Well, let me ask you a question. Okay, I'm going to play devil's advocate because pre-check people have minimal scrutiny. They have less security. The standard security doesn't apply to them. So this is kind of, to me, is because I, you know, I was in the industry, airline industry, and we dealt with the TSA. TSA, I don't know if you know this, they actually inspect aircraft. They come to the hangar and look at your stuff on the plane. How did that happen? It's just the growing monster. It's what a lot of these programs become.
Sure.
And they come in with dogs. Yeah, they come in with dogs and everything, looking for drugs. But
yeah.
Okay, so you're going to go in, less scrutiny. They're going to find, they might find something in your bag, or maybe they won't. So does the bag go through? Do they put the bags through the X-ray?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so they do.
You have to put your bag in, but you don't have to take out your iPad or your laptop or any electronics. Just put it all in there. Just don't take your shoes off. They run it through and pick everything up and go.
So that would seem to be something.
TSA.
Oh, TSA approved. So if I was a terrorist, I would get the TSA pre-check. I'm just saying.
Well, terrorists aren't that smart.
Oh, yeah, they are. And just like your security clearance, there's a lot of people working on the same place that you work have security clearances, top secret, that are stealing stuff, that they're being caught every week.
You know, I mean, you can't guarantee that people that are terrorists aren't going to get that TSA pre-check, but you would expect that if someone has certain prerequisites, shall we call them, that I would define as prerequisites that would eliminate them from being allowed to be in the TSA check. Not a matter of nationality. It would be a matter of, hey, you're on a criminal list. you're not allowed. Now, certainly, you know, there cells out there that are hidden cells of the group terrorists that are waiting for the go sign and could all have TSA pre-checks.
That is, yes.
It's a possibility. But how do you prevent that from happening if they take innocent that have no criminal background, have no issues that are significant signs that would prevent them from getting that? We've just announced to the terrorists, here's your opportunity. But the challenge is we've changed enough in the airline process and procedures, and there's enough other checks to prevent them from getting into the cabin to take over.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, that's the cabin. Listen, they made things worse. Greener in Columbus in college, I did that for a few months. I see the difference. It's hard to see it. It's more draconian now than ever. You're looked at as a criminal. We treated people nice. We had to be nice because we wanted the next contract. We were very polite. There was no people in like Albanian police uniforms. You know, we had suits on. We wanted to make the customers happy. We met a lot of celebrities and all that stuff, but we wanted to make the customer happy. We weren't mean to them. We were suspicious. And just like to prove your point, okay, there are people that are bad people. I caught a guy with a gun in the Columbus airport. He had no – he was a teacher. I put the gun in sideways, or straight up and down. I moved it sideways second time around, and it was a gun, and he was trying to get on the plane with it, but he had no record. So you don't really know. It's hard to tell what's going to happen. It's a different situation. I'm just saying that there are possibilities. There are squeaky clean people that get through that have nothing, no past history. And that's the guy who's going to get the paycheck. But I'm not saying that's the case, but there's so many possibilities.
Yeah, it's a way to play the system. It's a way to play the system. You're right, Kevin. You know, and that's why I'm saying that there are extra precautionary ways that they've established the protections in the aircraft to prevent someone who has, you know, the tools that they had on 9/11
right.
from taking over the cab. And now, there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee. But if it happens, it's not going to be, I would not expect it to be 4 or 5 planes that's
no.
like being able to do that.
I don't either.
On 9/11.
Right.
And there's going to people are going to know it, similar to the flight that ended in the Pennsylvania field, people will fight back, find a way to keep them from.
But Darren, like you said, I think you nailed it though with the cockpit being secure. I think that is the ultimate. You really can't do much to an aircraft unless you're in the cockpit. You can't. You're very limited with the interior and everything. Unless you hurt the people, and there's no reason to do that. So I think those days are gone because they always went to the cockpit. They always went to, even when they hijacked back in the 60s and 70s and part of the 80s.
People that control the plane.
And that's the whole point of the hijacking. So that's probably why you haven't seen anything since then. I think that was the best thing they did was the cockpit, unless the pilot's in distress, and now then everybody's in trouble.
We don't even, remember MH370 that disappeared.
Yes.
I watched a couple of documentaries on that, and, they're not sure if it was a pilot or if there was some kind of other
conspiracy
going on. And,
yeah.
Never know the answer to that, but they're never going to find that. At least, not for another century. They're not going to find that aircraft.
So the funny thing about that is the engines kept transmitting, so they know where it is. The engines tell you where they are. That's what.
Yeah, but that signal dies after a certain amount of time.
Yeah, but while it was flying, they knew where it was. I know how these things work, and they did mention that. They mentioned that. So they talked about it, but then it disappeared because whoever makes those engines, they know where those engines are. The aircraft is different than the engine. The engine is a whole other thing. It's not even part of the aircraft. They're separated. So you know that probably. And they have their own, they transmit where they are all the time. And because they kept saying, oops, where is he here? So remember when this happened with NH370, they said the plane is gone. They can't track it. Well, the engine company came up and said, "Oh, we're still tracking the engine." Isn't that crazy? So where is it?
Industry, those that were responsible would already know that.
Well, I don't see this. Yeah, I know this stuff because when I was another programmer of the planes, because they didn't know where they were, I said, "You need to check with Pratt, see where the planes are, where the engines are." And they knew, they found them. That's how they found them. I knew that was what happened. So it's one of those things people don't think about. but it died down, it disappeared. This is the reality. Every airline, you can track the engines for a reason, because they're monitoring all those the parameters inside those envelopes.
What about the cell phones that were on that aircraft? Couldn't they track the location of those?
You would think so, but I'm not sure if that technology was there then.
Sure.
3 years ago. I mean, that's another country. I'm not sure. Yeah, that is a good question. That is a very good question. They could probably do that.
You know,
yeah.
Where's, you know, several satellites that are, you know, it's in contact with, obviously you don't have cell towers, but they're connected. But again, you're on an aircraft, so you have to turn off you probably have to turn off their
right.
Tracking service anyway.
Yeah, yeah. You can't ever turn off the engine signal. That's constant.
Yeah, but I'm talking about cell phones.
Cell phones, yeah. Well, yeah, but still, you would think. I mean, there's a lot of them on that flight. But anyway, yeah. And they had people reported seeing the planes fly over, but the animation was like the plane was out at 100 feet. Come on. Those things were like, that's probably like 30,000 or something like that. But the whole point is, you never know. That could have been something. Flight 800. So I found out this week what caused Flight 800 to go down besides the bomb. I think the bomb was part of it. Might not have been big enough. Remember that off New York coast?
Yeah.
800.
Yeah.
I was reading about the wiring that they used on that. It was Kapton, KAPTON, which is the worst wire. It's very flammable. Has a lot of problems. So, we used to work with that stuff, and it was terrible. But anyway, I'm not surprised. So they're saying that caused, this is what they're retro now, that even if there's a bomb, it still wouldn't have done anything. That caused everything else to catch fire. So the people and all that stuff. So it contributed greatly, according
yeah.
to.
Yeah, secondary, you know, secondary item. Cause the destruction.
Yeah, you can put a match to it and catch it on fire, the wire. That's how bad it is.
That's terrible.
But it's cheap. It's the cheapest.
Not an airline.
Everybody had it, military, airline, because it was cheaper than all the other ones, so they had to go to something else.
Just before everybody realized.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, you always go with the cheaper thing. You make more money that way.
Like you said, Kevin, it's always about the money.
Yeah, right, because the TSA free check, $78. I'm going to get it anyway, right? I'm going to get it. I think it's...
I'm paying for it. To me, it was, you know, you're flying, you know, 6-7 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
It was worth it. The reason I got it was a friend who had it. He's like, yeah, well, good luck in that long line. I'm going through free check. It'll take me all of, you know, 5 minutes while it takes you an hour. Like, oh, man, I gotta get that
pre-check. And there's some people, some airports. We were stuck in Seattle on a cruise ship. Had broke thousands of people trying to get out of that airport in Seattle. And it was the longest line I've ever seen in my life. But I was like, I wish I had pre-check. And the pre-check line was long, too. But...
You still gotta go through the process.
Yeah, right.
Your ID, yeah. Show
so why don't you just show your ID and just go straight to the gate? Pre-check, go to the front door. Oh, no, I'm just saying. Why not just do that? What's the difference? There is no difference.
He's gone way too far back.
No, I mean, there really is no difference. What's the difference? You just walk in. I got a pre-check. We'll walk right to the plane. What's the difference? What do they have to check? Your bag? We just put another bag thing up there.
Because of the pre-check. Because they checked your license and they checked your identity.
The only problem I have with that is that, and then I'm going to leave, but I mean, I have it, but if it's good for 5 years, I mean, my life could really change in actually 2 months. But I mean, so if there's no vetting that's done, between now and 5 years from now, I'm not that same person. Not that I'm going to go do something, but I'm just saying it should be, in my opinion, I should have to pay $78 every year because I should be re-vetted to be able to have that privilege to walk with my shoes on, go through, and have them happen. So that's just my opinion.
So I like your idea, but now you've created an administrative challenge because someone has to go through the process of rechecking your information. And I you've got a great point. I just don't know what the easy solution is. That is, you know, if, let's say, you get arrested, you know,
right.
There should be an automatic.
It should be an automatic.
Just say pre-check. You know,
well, if you have a pre-check, just like you got a security clearance, it should be revoked. The same thing with a security check is I have a secret right now, working on PS. But so, what happens between now and what is it? How many years you get it? 10 years? 5 years? Whatever. I think that's the problem, the breakdown in the system is I get in there, I know how to do my job, and then I might lose my mind and decide to do something corrupt, and you're not going to figure it out. Well, now they changed that, but let me take that back, because now they have continuous vetting. Forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yes,
so they're always doing that.
Yeah,
it's impossible to do that. Impossible to do all the people.
Because I think what happened is people got too relaxed in their jobs and then comfortable and then started venturing out and doing stupid stuff. And nobody was watching, so you're not going to catch me for 5-10 years, so who cares, you know. Anyway, that's all I got to say. Bye-bye. Okay. Have a good show.
Cheerio.
Cheerio.
Yeah, I guess that was a good point.
Kevin, that was your what?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Glad she joined in?
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes she joins in. She has work to do back there. I shackle her to the whatever it is that is worked on. Yeah, I'm also, tonight I'm meeting Biscoff from Airline Cookies.
Oh, you got some of those biscuits? What they call them in England, biscuits.
Yeah, biscuits, yeah. Yeah, this is, my wife gave these to me. She gave me, they came off the last flight she was on.
Yeah, I really eat them on the flight.
Yeah, me too. With coffee, maybe.
Diet Coke,
yeah. Wow. Yeah, you know, don't drink coffee on a regional airline. Going out to Dayton, just. My advice. I mean, I know you guys are flying American now.
Yeah, it depends upon who's got the better price when I'm looking.
Mm-hmm.
I know some that they don't care because they have kind of not that they don't care. It's just they have a more urgent need to be somewhere, so they have a little bit more leeway in what they get. And they're oftentimes, you know, it's a, you know, hey, on Thursday I need you to fly out, or you know, next Wednesday or whatever. You get a week's notice for, you know, when they got to travel or less. So,
yeah, they have to be there.
So, typically, when we're traveling, we have at least a month's notice when we're traveling, so we can get all, everything booked up in DTS and go through the process and try to save the taxpayer.
What
we're paying for our flight.
Yeah, your flights are a lot cheaper than the contractors, though. Ours are crazy.
But it depends. It depends. I mean, again, if you're on a flight that you're told today that you're going to fly tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
You're still paying. They're still paying a chunk of change. But you have to. You know, it has to be. The justification has to be a very solid justification to go through the process.
Absolutely, yeah. It sure does. And then, you know, like, now my wife travels a lot. She travels once once every couple of months or so. There are people in my program who travel twice a month, once a month, and
it's a lot.
So pre-check would be ideal for that, the practical.
Yeah. That's exactly what, you know, why I got mine. It's like, you know, I'm just traveling often enough, and I'm like, you know, if my shoes off, I take my belt off.
Right.
And, you know, all the you know, the extra things you have to do when you don't have the pre-check, it just was worth the time and convenience to me to do that. Now, I started that when I was still a contractor. So when my initial laying in was out of pocket as a contractor. But it was, you know, it was worth it. I mean, you know, 70, 50, whatever amount it was originally, was worth it to me because I'm like, you know, especially if you're going through a larger airport like Atlanta or Seattle or some of these larger and you're in a large airport.
Yeah,
that the pre-check is worth its weight in gold if the line is an hour long for the regular line. And
exactly.
The pre-check, your, you know, flows much, much faster. You know, I've been in long lines for TSA pre-check in Atlanta, but it still flows faster, much faster. And, you know, then once you get through it, you know, it's even just fast to, you know, do the east check.
Atlanta Airport is gigantic. If you're like, I just go to Warner Robins, so I come back up, and I'm driving the rental car, and I'm driving, and it says airport. You can see the planes going over, but you're still driving and driving for miles. You go off ramps and around, finally you get to the airport. That is a huge, that's the biggest, most trafficked airport in the country. And the TSA, going to the TSA line is just as bad. So.
It's still faster, but it's
yeah.
Now that a lot of people are doing it, it gets longer.
Yeah, and they got some really good restaurants in that airport.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've been to a few really good restaurants there. Some with really nice.
Yeah, there's a restaurant. I can't remember the name of it. It was Low Country something. It was Concourse E has. Really good fried chicken and grit.
Oh, there you go.
Southern style. We can't make it in Ohio. It's impossible to make in Ohio. Physically impossible.
it just always flops for some reason.
So, you know, you ever been to Savannah, Georgia?
I have not. I've been close to Savannah. I've been close to Savannah, but how far is Savannah from Warner up?
Oh, it's pretty good distance.
Yeah.
Further south.
Near five, four miles, but I've not been to Savannah.
So that is like the fried chicken capital of the world.
Oh.
You go to a supermarket and get fried chicken out.
I thought Kentucky was the fried chicken
No, it's Georgia. So Savannah has Lady and Sons. I went there. I got the buffet and the food was unreal. But I can't remember her name. She owns it.
Making me hungry.
But then I went to this place. I went to the supermarket. I can't remember what the name of it was, but I went there, got some fried chicken, and it was amazing. People are cooking this stuff in the back. They know how they get it done. And then you got seafood down there, too. I like the
stuff that they've been doing for years.
Yeah.
Just learned from their grandma. You know, and it's just, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I had some barbecue down there near Atlanta, that was out of this world.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It was just, I mean, it was just, you know, it was just perfectly done. You just think, man. And they do it all the time, so they get all this practice. And really, yeah, that was a friend that I was traveling with. I was like, hey, let's go to this place that was was close by. It wasn't a hole in the wall, but it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't sunshine and rainbow type place. But it was very, very good.
Yeah, there's this place in Savannah. I went there. It was a seafood place near Tybee Island on the way there on Johnny Island. I even know the road, okay? Okay, I know what road it is. It's on. Okay, I bought some shrimp scampi. Yeah, I'll have some shrimp. Oh, my goodness. It was so good. Every time I went back there, I go to the same place. And that's all I have is a bowl of shrimp scampi with some toast. I've never had shrimp like that. Because, well, that's what they do. I went to this store. There's this fish market we went to. We were going to get some blue crab for somebody. So we go in there, no cash register. There's people in the back scaling fish, and the scales are flying all over the store. And this woman writes down what we got, and we pay her. I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is crazy. But they got it. They do it. There's a lot of history down there. They have it down. Just like New Orleans. I've never been there, but I like to go sometimes. Maybe. But, you know, Ohio. I think I'll pass on that. Ohio is like the worst food is in Ohio. There's some good things, but overall, every time I go somewhere else, it seems I can find some really, but it's just.
Bob Evans?
No. Ohio has got some good places.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
We got the fast food franchise.
Yeah, we do.
In Ohio. That's you know, that's all the ones, you know, Bob Evans.
Yeah, I tried to.
Started in Ohio. You know, they're national chains. And
yeah, right.
Different good stuff, but, you know, it really is one of those things where you have to kind of find the mom and pop shops.
Right, that's right.
Where you're going to find the good home cooking in Ohio.
Yes.
And they got great restaurants, right? I mean, there's some of the, you know, top line famous ones that are around, the steak restaurants and expensive ones. But you know what? They have some, you know, don't forget about Skyline Chili.
Right, Cincinnati.
Look at cinnamon, you know. Some extra.
Right. Right.
But the Skyline is based upon out of Cincinnati.
That's right.
Gold Star.
Yeah, Gold Star Chili.
So obviously chili is exported out of Ohio. restaurants are you know, it's you can find, you know, you can find. You can find some good ones, but you kind of have to be careful, because get your acid reflux moving.
Right.
Some of these places.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a place in Akron. If you ever get to Akron, there's this place called the Blue Bike Cafe. The Blue Door, okay? This is like super high class. The food looks like it came out of a magazine, kind of.
Plated like a professional, huh?
Yes. It was fantastic. We went there, we found it, ran into it by looking through the yellow pages or whatever, or online. So anyway, we get there. It's right down the street from Ernest Angley's old church, Cathedral, in Akron. And it's, the parking lot is full. This was like, we went to a wedding. I think it was on a Saturday or something. We left Sunday. And anyway, I got this meal. I have to show you pictures of that sometime.
Yeah, but reminded me of a couple of really, really, really good restaurants.
Yeah.
With exceptional home cook, they are like their Dutchman, the Amish.
Yes, Amish. Right.
Have you ever been to Amish country over in Pennsylvania? You'll find some of these. They're expensive, but it's always a Canadian buffet, and you know all your favorite stuff. You know, I grew up with, and perfectly made mashed potatoes, and green beans, and all the vegetables are you know, just the way my mom would cook them, similar. And I always loved going to an Amish. Now, the one in, used to be one in Waynesville.
Oh, really?
Insurance. I don't think the Amish believe in having insurance.
So just rebuild the Jebediah. I'm telling us how to get it done.
That's it. Just from a park build, right? But I don't know. They just didn't, they couldn't do, they can do barn rebuild, but they couldn't do a restaurant rebuild for some reason. But that, we went there quite a few times. We always enjoyed that. The one down there in Waynesville until it burnt down. But there's one over in Columbus that's very similar. We went to, it was probably this past summer we were out there. Exceptional again, just all, you know, all the Amish style that I grew up with, you know, with my mom's cooking.
Yeah.
She was Amish, but she took a lot of their style and added it to her. But sometimes the Amish use a little bit too much mustard.
Oh yeah.
Some of their stuff, but overall, very good. Always happy.
Yeah, you know, and you see some of them, like, even on the edge of town or north of here, and all this stuff is real. That's what I like about. They still have the art of that kind of thing, so.
Yep.
And that's amazing to me. I'm going to share something. Let me share this real quick with you. See here. We'll present. Share screen. I'm going to share the screen here.
Yeah, I can't turn my screen sideways. Or I look weird.
You see this? Look at this.
I don't have a large enough screen to have.
Okay.
This
is crazy. They have this is like super chef quality stuff. I had the chicken and waffles. It was amazing. Here we go.
Is this at the Blue Door?
Yeah. In Akron.
All right, we're going to. Next time I'm going up to see the Hall of Football Hall of Fame near Akron, or next time my son goes to camp, we're up near Akron. I'm going to remember the Blue Door. I'm going to look that up and put that on my to-do list to take my wife to the Blue Door.
Yeah, see, you know, for me to actually bring it up means a lot because you got to be really good for me to even say I like it. And that, and my wife will say the same thing.
Right, right.
It is unreal. They have these blueberry cafes in town. They got like, I can't remember, there's stuff in Cincinnati. Nothing compares to this place at all. I've never been anywhere with better breakfast except for Pensacola, Florida, at the Leisure Club.
Well,
which,
if you're paying a high price for it, you better be good.
Well, we didn't know what the price was until we got the bill. But it was, like, so good. But it's like one of those places of life where, wow, I mean, it's like kung fu.
Yeah, when I lived in Idaho for a year, they had, I don't know, it was like a, you know, it was like this super huge steak for real cheap. You know, they did it upright. I remember.
Yeah, really.
But, you know, they got the super-sized Idaho potatoes, got the
Supersized
ton of meat that was, you know, cooked to perfection, and I can remember that. There's a restaurant in Oklahoma City.
Oh yeah.
Cattlemen's is real popular.
Right.
They're really good. I've been to the Saltgrass out there. I really like the Saltgrass out there in Oklahoma City. Then they have this one. It's really just a hole in the wall. It's an old Whataburger taken over by this it's called the Patty Wet.
Oh.
And the Patty Wet, and it's based upon the hamburger patty. And
right.
It's always a hamburger joint. But it's all grass-fed beef. And I'm telling you, their sauces and their burgers were one of the best I've had. But it's just a hole in the wall out there in the northwest section of Oklahoma City. So if you're ever back in Oklahoma City, pick up the Patty Wagon. It's out of the way from your typical drive to the base or know, to the airport. It's Northwest. There's a couple other ones out there that I like as well. There's a few, you know, JD's was there. I Love His Bar is out there.
Did you go to the garage down there outside the gate?
Yes, been to the garage, got garage fries. Oh, yeah.
Well, Little Bear Cafe. Oh, my gosh, I love that place.
That was really good, too.
That was good beef. Because the beef is different down there. And it's like you said, grass-fed, and it's, they know how to do it. They know how to make it.
Oh, yeah.
It's completely different.
Meat?
Yeah.
When it's done right? Oh, man. It's just... Just so much, just such a better taste, better quality. Wow.
Yeah. Oklahoma, the Midwest, when you get out there into the further past the Midwest, seems like everything, you know, I mean, they know how to do it. Just like all the cattlemen and all these steakhouses and
yeah.
The coverage, it's like even down in Tucson, that area in Arizona, the best steak I ever had was Will Abner's, I believe. I don't know if you ate there. And that's in Tucson. It's not there anymore. And the Chewy's that we have, the Chewy's that you see today is not the original Chewy's. It's a counterfeit, and their food is terrible. Chewy's was like...
Mexican Chinese food?
Yeah, it's a Mexican. It's supposed to be Tex-Mex kind of thing. But the original Chewy's...
Chinese.
The Chewy's, the original Chewy's is so much better. So much better. So.
Yeah, I tend to like the something that's a little bit more how I want to call it, like a local kind of restaurant that I like. Del Toro, been Del Toro. I like Elsa's, those two places that I've always enjoyed, never been disappointed with any of them. Anything I've been served at those places.